decided he wanted to go. He got all bent and twisted going the other way, you know, with the devil, and we had to use our faith for that. But as far as money went, up until that time, we never had to. But when we first got to Jackson, we lived in a double wide. And I've said this many times, the only thing double wide in that thing was me and Deb. Charity seen it. It had one bedroom, two closets. They called it a three bedroom, okay? But it was one bedroom, two closets. And I'd come home and Deb would say, did we get paid? And I'd say, well, you know, not exactly, you know. And we ate beef bouillon a couple times, not because we liked beef bouillon, but that's all we had. Because God instructed us when we went there, don't ask nobody for anything but me, you know. And so we got to learn what living by faith really was. And see, whenever you're going through a battle or a difficulty, we were talking about this morning, do not discount what the Father is trying to do in your life, what He's trying to teach you. Amen. And you know, giving of your tithes and offering, that's just part of what God's trying to teach you. You know, if you can let go of that tithe and that offering, you can let go of a lot of things and let God loose. You with me? You can let go of a lot of those problems and turn God loose on them instead of trying to hold on to them. So everything God does in our life, you know, He is a Father. You know, the other day, one of our drivers texted me and he said, they told me I had to quit loading at 9:30. From 9:30 to 10:30, we can't load. And I said, well, get what you can on that truck and get out of there. And then I texted him back. I said, now that thing's not going to be full, so that liquid's going to be sloshing. You be careful. And he texted me back and he said, I'm always careful. I said, we just have to forgive the father instinct in me. You know, I just wanted him to be safe. He's a young man. I just wanted him to be safe. And you know what? Your Heavenly Father wants you to be safe. Your Heavenly Father wants you whole. Your Heavenly Father wants you to learn about Him. Amen. Whew. Lord, I think I preach in here. Amen. Let's pray and you can give. Jubal, will you help me take up the offering this morning? Come on up here. Okay, I'll help you. We're going to pray first, all right? Father, we love you and praise you. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Father, for blessing Jubal today as he becomes a servant of the Most High God. And Father, I pray you bless everyone that gives today. And Father, I thank you that you'll use this seed to expand your kingdom and you'll cause a harvest back to the sower. For that, we give you praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Now, a good usher, he doesn't miss any offerings. So hold up your envelope so Jubal can see it. There you go. You go over there first. All right. You got it. You got it. There you go. There you go. Keep going. Go back there, and then we'll get this other side. Attaboy. All right. Go that way. Go all the way around because you got one in the back there. Go ahead. You're doing good. You're doing good. He might make it. Hallelujah. I didn't even see Eli back. He snuck in on me. Now come over here and get these over here. Don't want to miss anybody. Hold it. He didn't hold it up for you so you could see it right there. And then you got one over there. Reach across Mike. There you go. Keep an eye on him. Don't take nothing out of there. Watch him. Going up here. Hey, attaboy. Good job, Jubal. Good job. Thank you. I think his name means I think his name means musical instruments or something that flows. Oh, like a musical instrument. Is that right? Yeah. Amen. You boys going down, Miss Debbie? Make sure you keep her out of trouble. All right, do your best. Okay? Do your best, keep her out of trouble. All right. Hallelujah. Praise you, mighty God. Genesis chapter 2. You turn there. We're going to read one verse out of there and jump over to Genesis chapter 3. Father, we love you this morning. We praise you. We glorify you. There is none like you. Oh, holy God, help us to be a holy people. Father, I pray that your anointing be upon our ears to hear and our hearts to receive your word. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. We've been studying about the word teshuvah, repentance. Its root word is shuv, and the root of repentance means to return or to turn and go back. Okay? Now, repentance is going to be important here. You with me? Repentance is going to be important for what I'm going to say today. I want to read you in Genesis chapter 1. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. What's that mean? God was finished with creation. Now listen to me. All matter that God created from came in Genesis chapter 1. Amen. And here in chapter 2, remember, when this was first written, there were no chapter and verses. That came much later. So this is kind of the end of the creation of the world. All matter, everything that mankind would make stuff out of was created in Genesis. Amen. And God said, it's finished. Now, jump over to Genesis 3. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but if God gets any better, I won't be able to stand it. But I'm ready, Lord. Try me. Try me. You know, you ever have a piece of candy that you just try to waller that thing in your mouth and on your tongue, it tastes good. You know, you don't dare bite on it because once you break it up, it's gone. You just, man. Them cinnamon candies, that butterscotch, oh, man, I like them. Well, God's the same way. Sometimes with me, sometimes, you know, when I'm in prayer with God, sometimes God's just, you know, he don't do anything. He don't say anything. I just know he's there. And he just, so his presence is so powerful and so real. It's like that piece of candy. I'm like, I don't want you to dissolve. Don't go nowhere. Can we just stay here? Let's just stay here. Keep me here till Jesus comes. Anybody ever feel like that? Yeah. All right, all matter was created in the Genesis story. Now, let's go over here. How many of you know what happened to Adam and Eve? They ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They ate from the tree that God did not want them to eat of. Okay? And so God is going to have to deal out some punishment here. First of all, he's going to kill an animal. He's going to clothe them with that skin, and that's for the remission of their sins, okay? Because sin, the wages of sin is death. Sin always requires an innocent victim. Somebody say, amen or oh me. Aren't you glad Jesus is the final sacrifice? But the Bible clearly tells us here that God shed an animal's blood and clothed them with the skin because they were naked. But I want you to see something here. I want you to go back to what he says to Adam in verse 19. He says, in the sweat of your face, verse 19 of chapter 3, page 10, if you got a Bible like mine. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Now, prior to Adam sinning, he was an eternal being. Somebody say amen. Prior to his disobedience, he was an eternal being. But now God's saying, from dust you came from dust you're going to go to. Now, how many of you are any science people in here, any real smart people? We got some smart people. We got Doc Gracie here. Anybody ever heard of the law of entropy? Okay, let me say it this way. When a scientist is trying to come up with something new, he comes up with a hypothesis, right, Doc? And from that hypothesis, that's just an idea. From that hypothesis, he moves on to a theory. I think this might work. So he has to try his hypothesis and his theory. And once his theory, once he proves his theory, it now becomes a law. Okay? Now, a law in science is something that cannot be broken. If you do this, this, and this, here's the result. That's the law every time. Okay? If it doesn't happen every time, then it can't be a law. Because I was reading this week, and a law, a science law, is unfailing. How about that? So maybe those guys that translated the English Bible and they translated Torah into Greek, nomos, and nomos into law, maybe they knew a little more than we give them credit for. Huh? I don't know. Okay? Torah does mean teaching. But a law is unfailing. Okay? And we have the law of entropy. That means it's unfailing. Einstein said that everything is decaying. Okay? You can't stop it. I can prove it. If I buy a car and I park it on that lot and I come back 10 years later, I never touch that car. I come back 10 years later, that car's not going to start. The tires are going to be dry rotted and the paint's going to be peeling and it's going to be a new collar, the collar of rust, right? That's the law of entropy, okay? Everything is decaying. Now, if I want to stop that law, I can't stop it, Todd. But if I park the car in a garage and I wash it and I wax it, I can slow that law down, right? But watch now. It takes some input from me to stop that law of entropy, right? How many of society without God is decaying? It's morally decaying. It's morally bankrupt. And the only thing that keeps a society from being morally bankrupt is the laws of God, the commands of God. Amen? So when God created man, he created man, an eternal being. He created man so that he would not be corrupt. He would not be subject to the law of entropy. But once man sins, he's unloosed that law of entropy. God said, from dust you came, and from dust you're going to return. Amen? Einstein said that when things are decaying, it's because they're losing heat. I find that to be true. Because the older we get, the colder we get. Huh? Yeah, yes you do. Yes you do. That's a nice try, but yes you do. Yes you do. All right, now let me keep going. I'm headed somewhere. Without the input of God, or without my input, that car is going to rust. You can look at my truck now. It's dirty and it's rusty. So you know, I live in it. I'm in that truck every day. I probably put 3,000 miles or 4,000 miles a month on my truck. So it doesn't really have a chance. Amen? Now, let me say this to you. I'm going to go a different route from my notes. I want to tell you this. We were talking in Sunday school about salvation and about how salvation is not just simply being born again. Certainly that's part of it. But salvation is actually working in our lives. Salvation is a work that God is doing in our lives, preserving us. Remember what we talked about salvation was, the root of salvation is for you to be delivered by the hand of God, for God to destroy your enemy, therefore you cast your eyes upon your deliverer. Somebody say amen. Amen. Okay, but it doesn't. It's something that is not a one-time deal in an altar, but it's something that God is doing in your life. It's God preserving you, or it's God in you helping you to overcome the law of entropy. And you know what? God has to have input into your life. How's he going to do that? By you being filled with his Spirit, by you studying his word. Amen. Because you have a real enemy, right? And the Bible clearly says, I mean, Jesus, if you don't want to believe me or Mike or Carolyn, believe Jesus when he said the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Somebody say amen. So when we're going through life and we're fighting a battle, we're going through difficulty, a lot of times what we do, the first thing people do is they don't go to church. I've done it myself. And what does that do? That shuts down an avenue in which God has input into your life. Amen? And then sometimes I've gotten so worried and worked up on things that it's made me tired, depressed. And when you get that way, you don't even want to pray. Now, I'm talking to me because I've been dealing with some of this stuff the last couple months. Okay? You don't even want to pray. So, again, you cut off an avenue from which God wants to have input in your life. So, you're out there, and the enemy, he wants to destroy you. That's the law of entropy. It's like that car's rusting down. You know, the devil's just stealing your life source from you. Amen. And that's what the devil has done to our society. Well, you know, I mean, we've murdered almost 70 million babies. I mean, really, come on. I mean, we have morally decayed to the point where young men and young women don't even know what sex they are. Why? Because it's a simple solution. You all know we've taken that input from God out of our children's lives. Now we're subject to the law of entropy. We're subject to old Slewfoot. Somebody say amen or oh me. However, when you go down that road, when you get away from God and you're going down that road and your life just seems like all the wheels are coming off, God has given us a gift. It's the gift of repentance. Remember what repentance means. It means to turn or to return. Amen? To return to the source. To return to God. See, when you got born again, when you entered the kingdom of heaven, your life didn't stop. You know, there are some people that believe, you know, you get saved and you just hang on and hold out and hope for God's best until you die. And you get all your rewards, Gracie, when you die. I don't know about y'all, but I need some rewards here. I need some victories here. Because Jesus didn't say when you die, overcome. He said that you need to be an overcomer, and then you'll enter his kingdom. Amen? But you know, you're not alone when you're... I don't know why I'm preaching this. You're not alone. You're not alone when you're in the fight. You're not alone when you're in the battle. God is trying his best to have input into your life. You got to quit shutting him down. Amen? And no matter how tired you feel, get your fat... Oh, did I say fat? At least I didn't say butt. Get your fat self out of that bed and spend some time with God. And I was in a restaurant the other day. Nothing is sacred to the devil. They had an old soap opera on. And I remember when I was like 18 or 19 and I worked evening shift. And there's a couple of them soap operas I'd watch. Now I'm 62 now. So I don't know how many years ago that was, over 40. Hey, Haley, how you doing, sweetheart? So there was, you know, it's over 40 some years ago. And Marlena was still on that show. and she was still almost dying. She was down, but she wasn't out. And you know what? I don't know. All the facelifts are working because she looked pretty young laying there. Or maybe they photoshopped an old picture. I don't know how they do that. Okay, but I don't even know what I was saying that for. But the point I'm trying to make is this. You've got to allow God to have input in your life. So turn off the soaps. Okay? Because I'm going to be honest with you. It's easier when you're tired just to go in, plop down in your lazy chair, prop your little piggies up, and just let the news or that idiot box we call television comfort us. Now, how many of there's no comfort? You can't watch the news. You'll find no comfort in that. Huh? If you're liberal, the conservatives will just tick you off. If you're conservative, the liberals are just going to tick you off. You won't know which ends up. I'm not even sure about watching Christian TV, because there's one guy preaching against the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the next guy saying it's a lie of the devil, and then you got another guy over here, he don't even believe in musical instruments, but my Bible says that I'm to praise him with the dance, I'm to praise him with the harp, I'm to praise him with the loud sounding cymbals, I'm to praise him. Anything that has breath should praise the Lord. So if you watch too much Christian television, you'll all be whacked out as Hogan's goat. Now, I don't know what Hogan's goat looked like, but I always heard people say that. You'd be as whacked as that bull calf was the other day. Those of you who don't know, I had a bull calf about 500 pounds come after me. He got me once. I got in the corner, he got me once, but when he backed up, I had a big staff of boys that just bought me. I don't know if it was made out of hickory or something. But I got in the batter's box, and when he come the second time, I swung, and man, I kept my head down, and I threw that sucker across the bridge of his nose, and he stopped dead in his tracks. You know, Corey said, if that had been a baseball, Dad, it had been in the bleachers. You know? I said, man, I was fighting for my life. I was pumped up. I didn't even know my leg was hurting from where he had nailed me the first time. You get that adrenaline going, you don't know. Now, you got issues. I got issues. You got an enemy. I got an enemy. Can I tell you something? Sometimes the issues you're going through, they may last for years. I'm just telling you. Let me explain something to you. See, I've been divorced. Okay? And I've had to fight that beast ever since. And it still will raise its ugly head every now and then. When I think I've beat it back, every now and then it'll raise its ugly head. One of my kids will say something or do something, and I'll think, oh, dear Lord. You know? Or you'll run into somebody that you look at as an ex. And they'll say something. I got to be real careful now. And they'll say something. Yeah, that's it. Keep moving. And you know it's stupid. And you know it's a lie. And you're like, oh, God, just turn me loose. Just loose me and let me go. And you know you can't. But see, you see the hurt from family members, you know, that caused. And it still affects us today, you know. And the only thing you can do is understand that your salvation didn't stop the moment you repented. God's still wanting to preserve you. God's still wanting to have input into you. He's trying to preserve you. He's trying to fight off that law of entropy. Why? Because he's in love with you. Song of Solomon said it, his desire is for you. Whew, glory to God. I may have some enemies on this earth, but I don't have any enemies in heaven. I don't have any enemies in here. God's living in me. God's living in you. God is just desiring to have input into your life. Quit shutting him down. I'm talking to me too. I'm talking to me. Sometimes we get so angry and we get, I mean, maybe you don't, but sometimes I get so angry, I just want to cuss. Huh? Yeah. Occasionally it might happen. Okay. That's why we have repentance. Amen. But sometimes we get so angry, sometimes we get so hurt that we just close everything down and we close God out. Man, those are the times that we need to open our hearts and say, God, I'm hurting. God, I'm angry. But God, I need you. I need to be able to sing to you like David sang to you. You are my rock. You are my fortress. You are my high tower. You are my deliverer. You are my very present help in time of trouble. You are the lifter of my head. But it's up to you. You've got to quit shutting God out. Amen. I've got to quit shutting God out. If you don't take some time for God, I'm telling you, folks, we live in a crazy, upside-down world where good is bad and bad is good. I mean, people don't even know what ends up. If you can't look in the mirror and tell if you're a boy or a girl, something's wrong. God has been taken out of the equation. Amen. And you know what? When we start shutting God out, we're no better than the world is. Because that's what they've done. They've shut God out. Amen. There was some nutcase on TV this morning. I turned it on just for a little bit. And I turned it on just to see some news. And I seen this nutcase saying that the Christianity had a conspiracy going to, you know, and we were going to use whatever was necessary, like violence or anything else, in order to take over the world, to take over the United States. It's like, what kind of idiot is this? I don't even know who he was. You know how I pray for those folks? The George Soroses of this world, those guys, I say, God, save them. Fill them with your spirit. And Lord, if that don't work, take them up on out of here. You said you'd deliver us from our enemies. Amen. Hallelujah. Evil's evil. God's wanting to have input into your life to preserve you. Open up those doors. Don't be so hurt, you close the door. Don't be so angry, you close the door. Don't get so worried, you get so tired and depressed that you close the door on God. And I'm as guilty as that one, of that one as anybody. I get so tired and aggravated sometimes. Because me and my brother-in-law, we catch heat from drivers. We catch heat from producers. We catch heat from Keith's wife, my sister. We catch heat from everybody, you know. I say, Keith, how'd you get through today? Oh, he quotes that line from Christmas Vacation. Had a little help from my buddy Jack. As in Jack Daniels. Okay. I know he's just joking, but there are people that turn to that stuff. I said, Keith, Jack can't help us. We're in too deep, buddy. We're in too deep. We might turn to Jack, but in the morning, we're going to be even deeper. You know, if we don't get some help from God, we're going to be in so deep, we ain't ever going to get out. Amen. Let God have input into your life. Bow your heads with me. You got any music, Terry? I'm sure he does. I'm sure he does. Well, see, I still have Sunday morning's message to go next week. Remember, repentance is a gift. We can always return to God. Amen. He's there waiting on us. Hallelujah. Amen. The world needs to repent. Amen. When you're praying, when you're in your prayer time, you should repent for our nation, the sins of our nation, the murder of babies, exploiting the poor, those things. Amen. Repent for our nation. We're going to do that in our prayers on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now just bow your heads and close your eyes. You know the drill. Most of you have been to church before. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How do I stop the moral decay in my life? By repenting. Jesus said, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. Amen. And how do I do that? By confessing your sins to God, repenting, meaning you're going to turn and return to Him, and now you're going to live for Him, walk with Him, and allow His salvation to preserve your life, preserve you physically, financially, emotionally. Glory to God. God's preserving power is available for you. He preserved David. He said, well, I mess up so much. Well, so did David. Amen? You just have to repent. Keep moving with God. That's not a license to sin. You just keep repenting. You keep coming to God, and you keep allowing God to have input, and you'll overcome those things in your life that you're struggling with. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you to do something. Anybody in here, you need to pray this morning. Maybe you've never repented of your sins and made Jesus Lord of your life. Or maybe you once did and you fell away from God. You got away from Father's house. And you say, I need to come back to Father's house. I'm not trying to make anybody feel uncomfortable or feel bad. I'm just giving you an invitation to allow God to start having input into your life. Anybody in here like that, you need to, you say, yes, Pastor, that's me. You want to just slip up your hand. Anybody at all? Anybody at all? I see that hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? I see that hand. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Anybody else? All right. Anybody? Everybody good? Those hands that went up, everybody's got their head bowed and their eyes closed. Everybody in those two hands that went up, everybody in here is rooting for you. Everybody in here is on your side. Nobody in here is going to embarrass you. So if you lifted your hand, Grams, you just stay right there. I'll come to you. If you lift your hand, come up here and let's pray. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on up here, young man. Hallelujah. You can look up now. Glory to God. Praise you, mighty God. Everybody blessed this morning. Got your shoes on, Jackie? I need your help. I need your help. Come on, Natalie, you can help too, please. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. God has been so good to you, you ought to praise Him. Hallelujah. Praise His mighty name. Tell you what, there's two handsome young men coming up the steps right now. There's a beautiful lady coming up the stairs too. Praise His mighty name. Close your eyes and think about God's goodness, how good He's been in your life despite the difficulties. Think about His goodness. When I think about His goodness and what He's done for me, I can dance all night. My bad. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, the Bible tells us life is in the blood. We know at Calvary, Jesus poured out his life to give us life. So here we always hold our cup up. And on three, we'll say L'chaim, which is Hebrew for to life. You ready? One, two, three. L'chaim. So this cup represents the life of Jesus, but it also represents the fourth cup in a Jewish betrothal ceremony, where the bride would drink that fourth cup, but not the bridegroom. He wouldn't drink it until after the wedding. But she would drink it, and it became a symbol of her vow to remain faithful until her wedding night. And so as we drink of the life of Jesus, it is also a vow we are making to our bridegroom that we will remain faithful until you come. Lord Jesus, with thanksgiving in our hearts and remembrance of you, we take and drink of your life this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, Wednesday, I'll have this wrote down, but I want to go through this with you because I know some of you, you'll call me anyway. Next Sunday morning, everything will be just as it always is. Sunday school at 10:30, worship at 11:30. But then Sunday night at 6, we're going to come back because it's Yom Torah, or the day of the blowing of the trumpets. Okay? And we're going to celebrate the Feast of Trumpets that night. Now, we're going to try our best to have a baptismal out here. A big cattle trough. Okay? Well, wait. This is something different. I did make you get in the river. That's true, but I was in the river with you, okay? Okay? We were in the river. When you approached God in ancient times, during Jesus' day, and some of you are going to Israel with us, you'll see this. There are mikvahs. There are baptistry pools. They have steps. You walk down the steps. You immerse yourself. It was a self-immersion. And then you walk back up the other side. And you always immersed. It had nothing to do with salvation. To get there, and then we make up excuses, you know, just saying. Okay, anyway, so they had, so this baptism is more because it starts, it's the beginning of the 10 days of awe. The blowing of the trumpet announced that you had 10 days in which you were to search your heart. And if you had a problem with somebody, you lied to somebody, you stole something for somebody, you had to go make it right in those 10 days. And so by us baptizing that night, it's just us saying we're washing, it's a clean start. We're washing the cares of this world off of us in order that for 10 days we can focus on God and allow God to look into our hearts. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. If you ask God, this is one prayer he will always answer. If you ask God to search your heart, for anything that doesn't need to be there, I'm telling you, he'll let you know. He will let you know. Now, well, this is Jewish stuff. Not really. The Bible says these are the feast of the Lord. And we know at this church that these are just, they're called El Moed, or seasons, or appointed times, God's appointed times. their yearly reminders. Okay? God thinks in cycles. Winter, spring, summer, fall. Monday, March, April, May, so on and so forth. God deals in cycles. So the feast days, Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, Shavuot or Pentecost, Yom Terah, the Feast of Trumpets, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the Feast of Tabernacles. Those were just seven eternal witnesses in a cycle that the children of Israel were supposed to keep as a yearly reminder of the goodness of God. That's all it is. It doesn't make us special because we keep it. It just means we're trying to walk in obedience to the Word of God and use these as a yearly reminder. Amen? So you've been, most of you have been, I think all of you have been baptized for the remission of your sins, okay? But this is something a little different. It's a new start because you're going to approach God in those 10 days, okay? You're going to approach God in those 10 days to have Him examine your heart. So you need a clean start. Amen? I'm going to get in that water too. All right? Together. And unlike Carolyn, who said we take our clothes off, we're going to leave our clothes on. Okay? It was just a slip of the tongue on Wednesday. Okay? All right? That's not, you had to be here, you know. See, that's how something taken out of context can get really, really messed up. Okay, Natalie's shaking her head. That's what parents are for, is to embarrass their children after we get older. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm blessed. I'm so happy now, you know. I'll tell you a good story on a parent or grandparent embarrassing their children. My Granny Wise, whom I dearly love, me and that woman were tight. We were in the eye doctor's office once, me and her and Deb. You know, sometimes when you get older, you can be a multitasker. You can walk and expel air. Huh? Multitaskers. See, everybody over 60 knows exactly what I'm talking about. All right? And we were standing there, and we were standing there, Granny broke wind. Right there where you put.